This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100 megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
All right, hello everybody and welcome to the show. And tonight we come to you from the Watsco Center. We've got basketball coming up tonight. Miami and the Duke Blue Devils. Unbelievable matchup for the University of Miami. Canes, of course, have struggled all season long trying to get to the finish line. Duke Blue Devils are soaring. And our special guest tonight from ESPN, former University of Miami coach, former Virginia Tech coach, former Long Beach State coach, great commentator, terrific analyst, and friend of the program, and also I think a friend of mine. Seth Greenberg. Seth, thank you for taking the time to join us here tonight on the Hurricane Hotline, which started many, many years ago, and I think you were a part of with Coach Foster when we did this show back in the mid-80s.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun back then. It was really a lot of fun the year we didn't have to play games. We were undefeated. But once we started playing games, that was a great education for me as a young coach aspiring to become a head coach, watching Coach Foster and our staff put together a roster, put together a schedule, put together a program, have that vision. And obviously that vision's become a reality with some of the recent success that Miami's had. And now they're going to have to kind of rebuild that reality in terms of the expectation with everything that's gone on this past year.
We have a very interesting set of circumstances here tonight. From where I sit, I am right next to the University of Miami bench, and to my left will be the Duke bench. And on that bench, it appears, will be the next head coach of the University of Miami in Jay Lucas. Young guy, great recruiter, responsible for their defense. Should this continue to trend in that direction, which it appears to be, what can you tell us about what the University of Miami will be getting?
Well, they get a guy that comes from a basketball pedigree. You know, his dad was not only a great player, but one of the greatest two-sport athletes in the history of the University of Maryland, great tennis player, NBA player, did amazing things as a player at the University of Maryland, coached the NBA, actually coached the Philadelphia 76ers, if I'm not mistaken, as a head coach, and then runs one of the great basketball academies in the country in terms of a player development for not only developing high school players, but also NBA players in the summer working on their game. So, Jay, look, he's been around it his whole life. He was a good player at the University of Texas, if I'm not mistaken. He's been a big part of John Shire's success. John does give him a lot of responsibility. And John is a great person. You talk about role models. I think John is a great person in terms of role models because he has great balance. He has, people look at John and they think that, he might not have the fire of a Coach K because he's coaching in his own personality. And I think that Jay's going to have to do the same thing. He's going to have to find his voice. I think as a coach, you can't try to be someone else. You got to have your own voice. But his background and his pedigree, obviously, is really, really impressive. You got to get dudes. You got to recruit players. You got to retain players. And you got to develop players. Those are the three most important things. And part of recruiting is evaluating. You're not going to get the same guys probably you get at Duke. Duke selects. Everyone else recruits. So you're going to have to do a good job of trying to recruit the best players, but also having a contingency plan to find guys that what I call evaluating. That's one of the most important parts of recruiting.
I want to dive into this recruiting thing with you in here during the course of our show. I do want to pick up on the timing is very interesting. So I know, I'm pretty sure the University of Miami wants to have a coach in place by March the 1st. It looks like that's going to happen. Now, I wonder if this is going to be like a college football situation where you see a head coach take a job before a bowl game and he doesn't coach the bowl game. Duke is going to be heading into the postseason and expected to take a deep run in the postseason. Meanwhile, the recruiting in the portal, that's all going to be opening up in March. Is it possible that he doesn't finish the season with Duke, that he finishes the season by starting with Miami so they can get a jump on the portal? Because they're going to need basically an entirely new team.
I think he'll be doing both. I think I would be shocked if he doesn't stay along with Duke, partially because it's an advantage. When you're talking to Samuel, I'm taking my team to the Final Four, get ready to compete for a national championship. This is my vision for what Miami's going to be. You want to be part of this. Now, he's got to hire a staff. Now, he can't wait until after the season, at least a couple staff members. But I actually think I would be disappointed if this magical season that Duke's having, that if a guy allegedly is your defensive coordinator and you're preparing for the biggest games of the season, the NCAA tournament games, I'd be really disappointed if he was not present and engaged with that team.
I mean, I think that's, you know, the most natural thing, but the timing is going to be tight because I guess
the timing is important to hire a guy early. Because he's got to be locked in. The one thing is, Duke's recruiting is basically over. They will go to the portal some. Now, that's where it gets tricky. Because there you have Jay. You know, if he's recruiting guys that Duke will recruit. But Duke's going to go to the portal. Duke's success this year, a lot of it had to do with Sion James, Malik Brown, Mason Gillis. The guys that went into the portal and got to complement that recruiting class, that was the key because their depth and their maturity were developed with the portal. So that could be a little tricky, Joe, but it'll be something to watch. But I think that getting him in as soon as possible, having him acquire put together his staff, having to figure out his roster, you know, I think that's roster construction. I say this to all the guys I mentor. Roster construction is the most important thing. Not collecting talent, but putting together a team where the pieces fit. And that'll be the key for Jay moving forward.
On the recruiting front, one of the things that I've noticed in both football and basketball, what people talk about, and I think you can kind of see it a little bit, is you're not building long-time relationships with the guys in the portal. You are almost recruiting them off of video and then getting them into your program, which opens you up to, well, we don't know everything about this player. We don't know what motivates him, or maybe we don't know what motivates him. Maybe we don't know what makes him tick. On the other hand, are there guys maybe like Jay Lucas and others that have been the grinders in recruiting that have built these relationships so that if they don't get the guy the first time, they can get him the second time because they do know him?
Yeah, that's a great point. I call recruiting portal, it's like speed dating.
Yeah.
You got to make a quick decision. Not that I've ever speed dated. But
you know, Karen would kill you on that one.
Yeah, she'd kill me on that one. You're right. Well, I met in Miami at the Great Grand Bay Hotel. And that wasn't speed dating. That took a while. But I mean, like, you have to make quick decisions. So if there's a kid who's in the portal who you recruited prior and now he's, you know, when he was a high school player, now his name's in the portal, you'll have a better understanding. I think that's where you're 100% right, because that's where the mistakes have been made. Like, you go to the portal, you got to get fit guys. You got to get winning players. You got to get guys that want to play for the good of the group. You got to get competitive guys. But with the agents in so much control of this recruiting process, they are squeezing people. And what I mean by that is, They're squeezing every dime they can get. Some of them are getting 20%. They're not as concerned about that player winning as they are getting their money. It's just a fact. It's a business for them. And they're playing. You really don't know what you're competing against. Because they can throw numbers out, but there's no documentation on what people are actually being offered. There's no contracts. Right. So you've got to be really understanding, all right, this is how much money I have. This is my budget. All right, these are the values I'm going to put on, you know, a shot maker. This is the value I'm going to put on a lockdown defender. Like, I think you got to put your roster together. You got to have two bombs. For everybody, I have two guys at the point of attack and guard the basketball. You got to have at least four guys that are big-time shot makers. You got to have two wing defenders. You got to have a multi-positional hybrid 4-5 guy. And then you got to have a rim protector. And that's how you got to build your roster. Right, but if you don't have two guys to guard the ball, forget about playing man-to-man. If you don't have a wing guy that can come in and be a lockdown defender, 6'6", 6'7" guy that can guard, you got to have skilled front court guys, because off court space, everyone's trying to play 5-out, 4-out, spread ball screens. If you don't have shot makers, you have no spacing. You can want to play that all you want. Why is Duke so good? Because, you know what? They surround Cooper Flagg with a bunch of guys who can make shots. Yeah. What would that happen? You see that with Isaiah Evans right now. Why is Isaiah Evans playing in front of Cal Foster? I'll tell you why. Because that dude can make a shot. And even if he's not making them, you're guarding him like he's going to make them. And that opens the floor. So you got to have a plan for your roster construction.
Seth Greenberg is our guest. We've got Miami and Duke coming up. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back on the show with Seth Greenberg and talk about Duke and Miami right after this here on QAM. All right, let's talk about Williamson Cadillac. Ed Williamson, his lovely wife Carol. They will be here at the game tonight, sitting right underneath the basket on the baseline. And of course, Williamson Cadillac is Miami's luxury dealership, founded over 50 years ago. They're more than just a dealership. They're our friends. They're our neighbors. Williamson Cadillac has built a loyal client base by staying focused on the thing that matters the most, the customer experience. Customers at Williamson Cadillac are treated like family. If you want to enjoy world-class customer service when you purchase a new Cadillac, go to Williamson Cadillac. And new vehicles are arriving every single day, which means Williamson is going to have the new Cadillac you're looking for. Go in today, experience Williamson's Cadillac's preferred atmosphere. It's easy to find, located on US 1 at 104th Street, just south of the Palmetto. You can go online at WilliamsonAutomotiveGroup.com and check out all of the inventory. If you want to get the most out of the South Florida lifestyle, if you want to have great customer service, if you want to have a dealership that is a friend for life, then that is Williamson Cadillac. Williamson Cadillac is your luxury dealership. Williamson Cadillac. Williamson is Miami. All right, welcome back to the show. As we continue on, we've got Miami and Duke coming up, tipping off at 7 o'clock, talking with the great Seth Greenberg. We've talked about Jay Lucas maybe switching teams here, but for now, he is with Duke, and University of Miami saw Duke earlier this year. The very tough matchup for this Hurricanes team. Through the years, Miami had pretty good success with Duke, but this is going to be tough. So just overall, when anybody's playing Duke, Seth, what do you see as the toughest matchups trying to slow Duke down?
Well, you got to be able to set your defense. So that means you got to take care of the basketball, and you got to take good shots. Because, you know, long shots, long rebounds, turnovers for touchdowns. You got to set your defense. That's first and foremost. Then the next thing you got to do is you got to figure out, look, this is a ridiculously talented team. Cooper Flagg is basically their point guard. So the ball, when the ball's in his hands, you've got to figure out how you're going to guard him. Are you going to say, let him get his? Or are you going to try to get the ball out of his hands? I think that's important. The problem is that they have so many guys that can make shots now. Now that Evans is in the line in the top eight, there's another floor spacer. So the thing that impressed me the other night about Duke in terms of their win is shot distribution. Cooper Flagg at Madison Square Garden took 10 shots. Three other guys on the starting team against Illinois took 9 shots. Sion James took 7 shots. The ball has energy with them. The ball doesn't get stuck. So you got to shorten the game. I mean, you want to have a shot, you got to shorten the game. You got to take care of the ball. You got to try to make a possession game. That's easier said than done. I think you got to switch up your defenses a little bit. Try to keep them off balance if you can. But they're a hard team to guard because people can get it going. Iris Clark is playing his best basketball of his career. Averaging about the last five games, 16 points a game, shooting 50 and 40, and about 2.8 assists per game. So he's found a balance. I call it selectively aggressive. He's found a balance of being selectively aggressive. You know, taking it, not chasing it. And that's the thing about their whole team. When your best player, Cooper Flagg, doesn't chase it, no one else chases it either. Yeah. He is so patient in terms of making the right play.
The big kid, Malwatch, I think he's one of the more skilled big players they've had in a long time.
Oh, he's gotten better and better and better. You watch him in the last month. His improvement, his confidence, you know, like Malwatch and Flagg have great defensive range. I mean, both of those, but what Malwatch has been able to do now, they can put him in the ball screen with Flagg. They commit to the Flagg and he short rolls, he's making the right decision. If they don't commit to and they just catch him to cover, you just throw it to the rim. No one can catch it where he can catch it. But yes, he's improved his skill set, but more importantly, so he's improved his understanding of the game. And like, you know, you saw him shoot the corner three in the Olympic thing, but that's one thing. But to be able to play out of the double team, to be able to short roll and make the right decision, to be able to switch short clock on a small and have the agility to keep the ball in front, that's what makes him so special. And that's what their team is. Now, look, without Malik Brown, who's a big part, he's one of the best defenders in the league, the kid from Syracuse who hurt his shoulder. Talk about getting the right guys in the portal. Selfless. Can really defend and pass. So, I mean, their depth isn't exactly what it wants to be in their front court, but they can also play Mason Gillis and go small. So it's just a hard team to play against, but you can't trade punches with them. I mean, you just can't. I compare it to like playing when I was at Long Beach State playing against UNLV. Look, the more possessions in the game, the more talent takes over. The fewer possessions in the game, and the more you can control the tempo. I always say the art of the upset's owning the identity of the game. Can you impose your identity, whether it's speed it up or slow it down? That's where they have a chance if they can make shots. You know, I think they got to make a bunch of threes, Miami. I don't know if they can, but and then they got to play. Like, here's the deal. Like, it's disappointing. I mean, like, if you're given a scholarship, you've got an NIL deal, which is a pay-for-play deal, all right? Then you're supposed to play. If you're healthy, you're supposed to play. Plain and simple. I don't know everything, but I know there's some guys on that roster that are healthy. They're not playing because they want to get another year. That's great. That's great for them because they're not NBA players and they're going to get another payday, and that's great. But I'll tell you what, that's selling out the program too. Yep. Because at the end of the year, they're going to collect their checks. At the end of the year, they're moving on. They're moving on. They're going to get another payday. And that's not what this thing's supposed to be. It's not what it's supposed to be. And that's why we need contracts. That's why there's got to be accountability on both ends in terms of some type of guidelines where, you know, the university has to fulfill their commitments, but the players have to fulfill their commitments as well. And there are no guidelines for that right now. And not just at Miami, but all over the country. You got guys that are finishing out the season with one foot in and one foot out, or both feet out because they want to get one more year of a payday in pay-for-flight. That's just a fact.
Yeah. When you look at Duke, and there's no question about what you just said, by the way, there's no question about that, and it makes it very, very frustrating. As Duke goes into makes their run in the NCAA tournament, probably will run into a SEC team somewhere along the way. Who gives them, or what kind of team gives them the most trouble?
You know, I would say, you know, Auburn with their size, their physicality. You know, obviously they have that underneath their belt, but their physicality. Denver Jones is an elite perimeter defender. The maturity, I would think they would be one. And I think Florida. I think Florida is really good. And Florida's got depth in their front court, size in their front court, athleticism in front. Chinyelu's been absolutely terrific. The other night he has 19, I think 13, so I think 6 offensive rebounds, 2 blocks. So they match up there. And then Walter played Denzel Aberdeen, Will Richard, Elijah Martin, who I think was a key pickup for Florida because of his toughness and his rebounding from the guard position. I think Florida, I have Florida in the Final Four. I think they are an absolute brutal out because of the number of guys they have that can make plays, their depth and their versatility.
If you look at the ACC, where it was, and think about when you were in these battles, and there was Jim Boeheim and Mike Krzyzewski and Rick Pitino and Jim Larrañaga and Roy Williams and Coach K, and every team, not only were you going up against a Hall of Fame coach, Hall of Fame coaching staff, it seemed like every team had three, four, elite players. And I look at the league today and go, holy mackerel, you know, Miami is struggling, but there are some other teams that aren't much better. How does the ACC get back to where it's supposed to be?
Your investment equals your expectation. Plain and simple. You're playing on an unlevel playing field in terms of recruiting because ACC is behind in terms of supporting NIL in a way that the SEC is. The SEC was set up and ready to jump into that. And if you don't have NIL, it's pay for play. You're not going to get the guys you need to get in the portal. You're just not, because it's a transactional thing, and you've got to get the right guys, but you also evaluate winning players. So, you know, the ACC, they're incredible tradition. But if I'm the commissioner, I have to sit down with those presidents and tell them the cold, hard truths. Mm-hmm. All right? This isn't the Ivy League, boys. All right? You're disappointed with your basketball team? Changing your coach isn't going to make a difference unless you invest in the program. So you can change your coach. You can hire new coaches. You can do all of that, whatever you want to do. That's great. You know what? The next guy's going to have the same results if you don't invest in the program across the board. Because when you're playing in a league like the ACC is now, where like over half of your teams are quad two, quad three, or quad four wins, you can't build resumes to get six, seven, eight teams in the NCAA tournament. Every game the SEC plays is almost a 5-1 win. So you can go 7-11. You're going to get the NCAA tournament, because if you win one or two quad one games non-conference, and you win seven quads in conference, how many teams are going to have eight quad one wins?
Right.
Not a lot. So the league has got to make a decision. Plain and simple. You want to be the ACC and everything it represents, the history and the tradition of this conference across the board, but you just want to be in the league. And your Duke's going to get their dudes. Carolina should. They struck out this year, past year, in front court players, but they're going to be fine. But this next generation of coaches, they can work their tails off. If they're not given the resources, they're not going to win. Plain and simple.
That's Seth Greenberg joining us here on the Hurricane Hotline. Stay tuned. Coming up next, we've got Miami Duke basketball right here on WQAM.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
So, I read in USA Today that the majority of people stop GLP-1 weight loss injection shots in a year. Now, what's concerning is if you get off GLP-1s, there's a real chance you can gain all the weight back. The solution? Alma said, a natural superfood protein shake. University studies show it optimizes your metabolism so you can lose weight easily, and Almacet has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Use Almacet with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almacet.com. That's A-L-M-A-S-E-D.com.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.